With a bear market happening in the US,
we thought it would be a good time to come back from our little hiatus and restart the podcast and hopefully provide some reassurance in these interesting times in today's episode. Enjoy.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. After what is a sizable hibernation.
Hiatus, hibernation,
bit of a spell, but we're back and hopefully better than ever. For our listeners. So I'm joined in the studio by Zach Masters.
Hey, Pete. How you going?
Hey, very good. Good to be back. And we're in the flesh. We're sort of pressing.
No sneeze guard between us. Just been a while.
Just a couple of guys and a couple of mics in a room together. So what could happen here? There's been a fair bit happening in investment markets.
Been busy.
And around the globe as well. Like, it's been a pretty... Who would have thought? Thought 2021 was sort of the peak of craziness, and then we come into 2022 and, you know, there's a war breaking out, we've got supply chain issues going through the roof, now inflation is the one that's stealing all the headlines, so other than Jordan DeGoey's Bali trip. So, but in all seriousness, it is got to captured people's attention, because I think it is that time of the year where sort of people are thinking of doing lump sum super contributions and
Inflation one, people are noticing. You'd be seeing it when you pay for a lettuce at the moment or paying for anything and everything's going crazy.
Well, I think what Jackie Felgate was pointing out, they're now doing Sancho Bao without the lettuce.
Oh, really?
Lettuce
is optional. Part, no cup.
Yeah, just a...
KFC is using cabbage. It's crazy times.
Yeah. And at the one we felt very early on was at the petrol pump. So you sort of see you pumping it in and going, hang on a sec. How much higher is this going to go? So you are saying it, sort of cost of going out for dinner, like everything's on the rise. So, but it is sort of one of those things that does impact investment decisions as well. And it's also, if you're logging in to see your investment portfolio, your super balance, it's going to be hitting you there as well. So we've had a few questions come in, and in particular, what's prompted us to get started this week is the US market went into bear market territory. And not the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ was there a little bit earlier, so the technology-heavy one. But this is the S&P 500, which is probably a slightly more diversified and broad representation of what's happening in the biggest economy in the world. So at the time of recording this, so we're at, 21st of June at the moment. Yep. So, we're down 23% from the high from January 3rd. So,
and what is a bear market for the listeners out there that aren't too sure? Well, they've probably heard the term before, bear and bull.
It's a very technical term, obviously. the peak to trough is greater than 20%. So that's sort of, it burst through that last week. So that sort of prompted us to get here, talk about it. What should people be thinking about? And sort of give our thoughts on what's caused it. So potentially, the better you can understand what's driving it, hopefully that can inform your decision about what you should do in terms of your investment strategy and if anything needs to change as well. So I guess in a nutshell, so not going the sort of the War and Peace version, haven't actually read that book, but here it's long. What do you think's been the main sort of factor causing this drive down? Because we're sort of hovering around negative 13% for quite a while, for a couple of months, and then we just sort of dropped through the floor.
Yeah, so obviously the May inflation data came out in the US, and that was higher than what was expected. I think they thought they would hit peak inflation the month earlier or around March. They were hoping, fingers crossed, and that wasn't necessarily the case. So then obviously the Fed's gone and done a 75 basis point increase in their cash rate. So that's obviously got people worried as well. So I think some people liked that increase, that the Fed's actually going out and proactive and trying to stop it earlier, but there's the thought around that they got it wrong a little bit and should have acted probably sooner than they have. So I guess that rate increase is then causing people to worry about a recession and different things like that. And the Fed probably came out and said that the inflation's really high and that they would rather see a recession, kind of without saying that, they'd rather see a recession than they would see inflation remain at the levels it is, and they need to get inflation under control as their number one priority. So I think their feelings was that a recession's, whilst painful, can be gotten through quicker, whereas inflation, on the other hand, if it's left to get out of control, can be very painful and can last a lot longer. So that's kind of what they were going at. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
I think, in a nutshell, that covers it quite well. And that 75 basis point one is no mean feat. Like, we haven't seen anything like that. So what's the last one was since 1994,
yeah,
of that magnitude. So pretty significant. But I think it does, it's that thing of going, look, we heard about transitory inflation. Like, that was the term being used and the hope that it would just pass through. But also, like, they need to get this down. And I guess it's the side that they're focusing on. This is two sides to inflation. So inflation is the cost of, basically the cost of living on the increase.
Yeah,
so
the biggest example of that at the moment, like, is the lettuce ones. They're one everyone's talking about, but it's the cost of what you pay for everyday items or everything that you use normally. Yep. So petrol, iceberg lettuces, whatever it might be, but the cost of those is rising, and
I don't even like lettuce, and now it has me thinking, and this is a delicacy.
Stock up, chuck it in the safe.
I had a client joking, but I was sort of not that far from a joke that they might wrap the Sanchoy bao in an eye fillet, so that might be a little bit cheaper than the iceberg lettuce. But it is a balancing act, and then I think what we're looking for is that. How confident are you that the Fed can achieve their goal of cooling the economy? Because they're focused on the demand side. So, you know, you and I, you've got your cost of living's on the increase, your budget's a little bit more constrained. And, you know, get people with mortgages are going to feel it because their sort of mortgage repayments are going to be on the rise. So is that going to be successful in slowing down demand? And what is the sort of secondary effects of this. So what we're likely to see is companies are going to feel it, because once the consumer slows down, you're going to have slower revenue growth. You're going to have lower earnings growth. Ultimately, you know, weaker GDP, companies, you're already seeing it. Like, there's in the crypto world, they're cutting workforce, and a lot of the tech sector, there's hiring freezes as well. In terms of the labor force will start to sort of, you know, you won't have that. I think people were sort of almost like everyone was demanding a job, a pay rise, and sort of hopping around jobs for a while because it was just sort of a labor shortage. So I think with that, I think the important thing is to know it is something that's not going away. So they are committed to making sure it happens. So what do we do next in terms of with portfolios, and how long do these things typically last?
Yeah, and I think that's what we'll get onto a little bit. And then just like stepping back a tiny bit, like, why they, like, for listeners out there that weren't too sure, like, why do the Fed and why does the RBA here raise the cash rates? It's so that people have the less spending money to keep raising the demand for the product. So at the moment, obviously, there's a supply shortage happening around the world for a lot of the main things that we use, especially with the oil and gas and things like that. So they're trying to get that into recession, the Fed, in a kind of way, is that it's the recession that they need to have. I've seen a lot of people state things like that. That's kind of why they go about it, so that there's to bring that supply down and try and get that equilibrium back into where it needs to be. But in terms of what needs to happen, like, obviously, or what should your strategy be in times like this? I think you sent me a quote this morning, so from Ben Carlson, was it? One of your...
He's a great writer. So very, very gifted writer on all financial matters. And very, very worthwhile forwarding on. So you haven't checked him out, so
yeah,
jump on.
So his quote today was, "I don't know how much longer this bear market will last, and I don't know how long it will take to get back to the new all-time highs. I'm not certain, but I am confident those new highs are coming again at some point. If not, what's the point of investing in the first place?" And I think this kind of comes back to, like, why do we invest to begin with, and what do we do in times like this? It's usually we've got to look at what our plan was and what our plan is for the money. So why did you invest in the first place? If it's for growth in the long term, like, why are you nervous, or why are you panicking at what's happening in terms of short day-to-day, month-to-month time frames? So often when you look back on, and I think this is, I was listening to something the other day in terms of people going, well, when you look back on history, and history is not always the perfect indicator of what's happening, but it can kind of provide some insight of to when you've gone through market drops in the past, of going, like, looking back on 2008, and people, you hear people saying, "I wish I'd invested in 2008, or I wish I'd invested in 2020 during COVID, like when it first hit here, and around February, March in 2020. And would 2022, potentially, when we look back in 5 years, will this be another time where we look back and go, I wish I'd invested in 2022. Like, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I agree with all those sentiments. And I think you're never going to know when the bottom is. So let's all just get that out of the way and say none of us have a crystal ball and can say with 100% certainty, this is the bottom, or this we can call it and go, this is exactly what's going to play out. Even with all the information about what's going to happen in the future, except for asset prices, it's going to be near impossible still to predict what will happen. Markets are forward-looking. There's humans involved, as well as a lot of very expensive algorithms running as well. But it's one of those things where these things don't last forever. So you take confidence of going, well, we know that all-time highs are recreated constantly.
Mm.
You know, doesn't matter if it's wars, if it's recessions, if it's pandemics, economic crises, like collapses of whole sort of sectors of economies, we've still continued to test all-time highs. What differs, though, is the depth of drops. So, yeah, there is variance in terms of how deep they are. There's variances in how long they last, how quick the turnaround is, and what the driving forces are. Right now, we're caught in a tug of war in terms of like what might happen in the future. And it might be that, you know, what the Fed does to control inflation might have unintended consequences, similar to what happened in 2020. So I was like, okay, well, this is bad. Global pandemic, central banks across the world, government stimulated economies. We sort of got a hangover from it at the moment where it's like, okay, it was too much. And sort of it's almost like I liken it to a pendulum now. I don't know if people have, like, no one has clocks anymore, do they? You know, the pendulum that swings from side to side in the old grandfather clock. Casting my mind back to my childhood there. But that is like one of those things like, well, what got to wait to see what comes out. But what you got to sort of take confidence in, these things don't last forever. So I was just sort of looking at that Ben Carlson article as well. And, you know, the peak to trough on average, so there's sort of, you know, he's cited like these pullbacks that have happened in bear markets in the S&P 500, peak to trough is generally around about 12 months. So you talk about where are we now relative to that? Yeah, we're 6 months in. Some of these have been the shortest one was one month. I don't know if you remember that one, Zach. It's a long time ago. It was back in 2020. But, you know, there's the longest one there is sort of 31 months. So it sort of can vary quite a lot.
Mm.
And then back to break even is about 21 months on average. You know, again, the shortest one was actually 3 months, and that was back in the 80s. So you can get a lot of variance, but the main thing is I think all these things have happened. You know, average declines in these bear markets, just over 32%. Okay, and we've still compounded at double-digit rates for that index.
Yeah.
Over sort of since its inception. So I think you take confidence in going, you can't pick the bottom. You can't predict like how long this is going to take. What you can do is not sell your assets at fire sale prices and panic. And I think that's the advantage that the individual investor, the superannuation investor making decisions about themselves and being in control of that and having that agency is you got the advantage over the big institutions that have to make decisions based on different targets that aren't specific to you.
Yeah.
And you've got that sort of, you can choose to lean into this and see it as an opportunity if your time frame dictates and your risk tolerance dictates it should be. That's the exciting thing because it will pass. This too shall pass.
Yeah, and I think like I was listening to a podcast the other day that was talking about if your house was getting valued at the moment. So if your house gets valued, like your shares portfolio gets valued, and in one day your house dropped 3%, like would you be rushing to sell? Like would you be stressed? Like you might be a little bit stressed, but would you be rushing to sell your house? Like probably not. Most likely not. I don't know what you'd do, Pete.
I put my house on sale every day. No. In all seriousness, no. I don't even think about it and because I don't seek to go and value it every day because it actually is immaterial what happens on a day-to-day basis.
So is the same, like it's just due to the nature of the way in which your shares are priced, pretty much every second of the trading day and the changes happen, that is that what causes stress for you? If so, like should you be turning off a fair bit of the noise? As well, I was reading a good article from Morgan Housel over in the US, so collaborativefund.com. Get on that. He's got a lot of interesting blogs, but he was saying, you know, lots of the headlines are like a 1 in 100 year event or different things like that. But he's saying if there's hundreds of 1 in 100 year events, like you're going to cop one every year. So, yeah.
That was an interesting way to look at that because I came across that stat a while because I was like, how is all these 1 in 100 year?
Yeah, we just had a pandemic. Now we've got a huge inflation. every year we seem to be having a one in 100 year event. Yeah. It's because there's hundreds of these events that can happen to us at any time.
Yeah, no, definitely. And risk is always going to be present. And I think you get rewarded for taking on that risk. Like, that's why asset prices, whether it be property, you know, in, as a growth asset, whether it be equities as a growth asset, or bonds, they're above a risk-free rate in terms of return as well. You're getting rewarded for taking some risk. And what you need to do is make sure, you know, it's a zero-sum game. Like, if you're selling your assets, someone's buying them off you. Someone's seeing this as a good opportunity. So if you are offloading them at what we feel is, well, what we know is
discount,
a discount to their previous high, well, you know, that's you're shifting that wealth opportunity to someone else.
And what about, so we've spoken a little bit about people that have money invested. Now, what about people that aren't invested or are looking to invest? Like, what's your advice?
I'm very excited for you. This is a fantastic opportunity. But yeah, I think we've talked about like what's causing it. Like, I think we need to get out there and sort of just reconfirm. Like, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I am confident if you invest in quality businesses, quality assets, whether it be shares, whether it be properties, over long periods of time, they will generate and compound at very good returns and support your wealth creation plans. Knowing that, it's that thing of going, well, if you've got cash on the sidelines and you haven't started invest, don't let this spook you. Don't let this put it off. And if you need to just go, I need to take a baby step, well, dollar cost averaging. And, you know, we've spoken about dollar cost averaging several times ago. And okay, well, I don't know, I'm not really confident today, but I know I should get started. I want to do something. Well, yeah, if you've got money, divide it by 5 or divide it by 6 and do it over 5 months or 6 months or 3 months, whatever it is, but sort of get that started, because things can turn really quickly and you can't wait for it to be better because it's too late. The markets are forward looking.
Yeah. And a lot of the time, like when I was talking to people in November and like everyone's like, yeah, I need to get started investing. I need to do this. I need to do that. And now, you know, people are going, oh, I might hold off a little bit. But you were wanting to do it back in November when the market was at a high. It goes back to that behavioral investing and behavioral psychology of why do we feel good when markets are at their highest and everything's green, when in reality, is that the time that we should be most worried or most fearful?
And I think, like, you see it in fund outflows because there's a lot of emotional money out there.
Yeah.
And yeah, the same person, I don't know this person, this is a hypothetical person, would be probably won't need dollar cost averaging when the market's running hot, because you're like, oh, the FOMO, I need to get in.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like, oh, fear of like being in almost. So I think you've just got to brace yourself and know that it's normal. Like, no one's sort of rubbing their hands together going, oh, this is fantastic. Yeah, I'm really excited.
Super excited.
Unless you're a short seller.
Some people might be.
Yeah, they'll be in the minority. Yeah. So I think, look, where do we go from here? Like, what should the investor out there, so our listeners, be doing with their portfolio or thinking about? Zach, what would be your number one thing?
Yeah, so number one would be just don't panic. So try and stick to your long-term plan. So why did you invest the funds in the first place? If you are looking to potentially invest, like, what are your, is it a long-term investment? What are your long-term plans? Like, is a growth portfolio and the need for growth form part of that? And what is the amount of risk that you're willing to take? So for those that are already invested, you should be invest alongside with your risk profile, and hopefully that you know, you're kind of within those balances at the moment, or even it might be now might be a time where you kind of have a look at that if you haven't been through one of these style of market events before as well, because you never really potentially know how you're going to react until it comes. But I think, yeah, don't panic would be the number one, and look, stick to the plan. So if you had invested 6 months ago, 12 months ago, 5 years ago, like, why are you worried about what the short-term thing is when your goal is 5-10 years into the future and you need that growth portfolio to help you achieve your goals? What about you? What would be the one tip you'd leave listeners with?
Like anyone that's spoken to me long enough, this one should ring true. Don't waste a crisis. You know, you want to make sure you're doing something, being proactive, and treating this as an opportunity. So even if you're fully invested, there still may be opportunities within your portfolio to sort of go, hang on, this might set me on a better long-term trajectory based on all the information I know. And it's not a thing of going, when we say stick to the plan, means you just stick your head in the sand and not review your investments and go, okay, this doesn't matter. And some investment strategies might be suitable for that. Like, you know, if you go, I'm a long-term passive index investor, well, yeah, look, fair enough. Well, that probably is a reasonable strategy.
Yeah.
But for other people, there might be opportunities to go, hey, look, this has sort of insulated me quite well, but my outlook for the next 10 years or sort of these other assets are probably going to be better suited, and it's still money within your portfolio. So I'd say looking at that and sort of taking advantage of other people's panic and other people's worry and other people's dumb decisions to sort of make sure your portfolio is as best suited as it can be for the future. Another little thing that you might do, it's marginal things, but tax matters. So tax, we know, is a sort of a drag on returns. So it might be that thing of going, and hopefully you haven't left it too late because it's a bad week to do it in the last week, but you could do it, is sort of trying to sort of look at tax loss harvesting and going, okay, if I'm an investor that gets taxed, can I offload some investments that are sitting at capital losses and shift them into stuff that is better suited, still aligns with my growth profile, not downweighting risk necessarily in terms of asset allocation, but just reallocating within there. And it might be, oh, these, I'm going to sell off some individual shares and put them into an Aussie index within the same market. But what you're doing, you sort of got a capital loss that's going to help you keep more of your future gains when you do decide to sell assets in the future as well. So, those sort of things. And like super contributions, this should be a pretty exciting time. Like if you're planning to do super contributions, not only are you getting, and if they're deductible, are you getting a tax deduction, you're also buying in at a steep discount to what we were 6 months ago.
Yep.
And it's this is for your retirement savings. So most of us are going to live several decades in retirement. That might be the place where you can get comfortable and sort of be a lot more proactive first. So hopefully that's given listeners out there and investors some confidence that, this is not going to last forever. It is tough and we get it. We hear you. But I think in hindsight, if you can look back and say, I've taken some opportunities, I haven't panicked, I haven't made any dumb decisions, you're going to feel really, really good about this time. And you'll be reflecting and going, oh, that was my battle scar. Where's that scar from? Oh, it's from 2022. Yeah. It's right next to that one from 2020, and 2018 and 2015 and all the other ones that we've got in there. Hopefully you've got something out of that. Yeah, we're back. We're going to be doing this regularly.
Need topics. So if you've got any questions, send us through. Otherwise, we'll send it through to connect@picada.com.au. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Thanks, mate.
We're really shaky. We don't even know where to send it.
Where do I send it? What's the email address again?
We're back. thanks for that. We'll see you all soon.